Thanks for joining us at Reveal, a Jesus-centered community. To learn more about us and what's going on, check us out on the web at www.revealvineyard.com. We hope in the minutes to come, you're able to find God, find others, and find yourself. Thanks again for listening.
Let's pray. We're going to jump in. A lot to cover today. Let's see what the Holy Spirit has for us. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness and your love for us. And out of that love for us, we respond with love to you. And I would pray that you would reveal more of your love for us as we speak today. I pray that you could do something significant in us as we wrap up a series today, that you could loose some chains, that you could break some bondages, that you can begin to set our feet on a solid ground, begin to set us up for a new trajectory of life. Holy Spirit, that you would come and you would have your way, that you would empower us to live out our faith, empower us to be followers of Jesus, empower us to have lives that look more like Jesus. And so we're asking that you would do what only you could do today as we study your truth, as we open ourselves to you and your truth is spoken into us. Lord, we know that that truth brings freedom. And so would you release us today? Would you bring freedom today? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, well, we are on our final week of a series called Mastermind. Change your thinking, change your life. A big shout out to all of the leaders who led us the last 4 weeks in this series. They did a fantastic job. I've listened to all their messages online. You were left in good hands. You were served good food. I hope you ate. I thought they did a fantastic job. So we've been talking about Mastermind. Change your thinking, change your life. If you show me the thoughts that consume you, I will show you the trajectory of your life. Now, that doesn't take any special skill. If you knew the thoughts that consumed me, you could show me the trajectory of my life with just some basic wisdom. Whatever thoughts consume me will eventually control me. Whatever thoughts consume me will eventually control me. Why is this? Because as we said in the series, life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thought. Your life today is moving in the direction of your strongest thought. Whatever thoughts overwhelm you, whatever thoughts consume you, your life is moving in that direction. So now would be a good time to think about what you think about. Today would be a good day to think about what it is that you think about. Whatever you allow to root in your thoughts, whatever I allow to root in my thoughts will eventually be evident in my life. In other words, I cannot have a positive life with a negative mind. It is just impossible. I cannot have a positive life and have a negative mind. Why? Because my life is always moving in the direction of my strongest thought. Now, why is that? Because, as we've been talking about, the brain is not static. The brain constantly grows and constantly evolves. Science calls this neuroplasticity. The idea that the brain is, in a sense, plastic and moldable, shapeable and reshapeable throughout our lives. Now, this is a fairly new discovery. We used to think that the brain, prior to the age of 20, was hardwired and rather fixed, that it was long believed that the adult brain had a certain number of fixed neurons performing certain activities. A neuron is just the transmitter working of the brain, special cells that transmits information. And it was thought that after 20 that the adult brain loses that and that the adult brain is rather fixed. We get the phrase, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's, you know, kind of the idea behind it. And so researchers were set out to prove this, and to their surprise, they proved the exact opposite. To their surprise, they proved that the brain is just one big learning tissue throughout life, that the brain is constantly looking to be reshaped and reformed and has the ability to be reshaped and reformed. This means that my brain, as small as it may be, that my brain is continually being programmed. Your brain, as big as it may be, is continually being recreated, is being programmed. Neural pathways are constantly being committed. In other words, every time that you learn something or perform an activity or think a repetitive thought, neural circuits are being altered in our brains. Synapses are transferring information. And listen, the more that you perform the activity or the more that you think that thought, the efficiency of the synapses increases. Meaning the more you do something, the easier it is for you to do something. What I meditate on or repeatedly do is creating a pathway which makes it easier for me to think or do that activity in the future. Think of it this way. Think of it as a field in nature, and it's overgrown with weeds and with shrubs and with plants, and it's difficult to journey through that field. But the more you walk on the same path, the more that a path is formed, making it easier for you to walk on that path the next time. Well, this is the kind of the way that it is with the brain. The more that I meditate on something, the more that I repeatedly do something, the brain is creating a path that makes it easier for you to go on that path the next time around. It becomes my default way of thinking. That means this, that the more that you worry, the easier it becomes to worry. Because you're creating neural pathways in the brain that allows your default thinking to go towards worry. The more that you do the activity of any nail pickers here, my wife is a nail picker, that no one will admit that. I watch you. I see you doing this as I'm speaking. Yeah, some of you, you're honest. Thank you. God bless. The more that you pick your nails, the more neural pathways that are being created, that makes it easier for you to pick your nails when you don't even know you're picking your nails. Right? You don't even get my wife. She's like constantly, I feel the jerking in the bed as she's picking at her nails. And I'm like, stop it. She's like, I didn't even know I was doing it. Right? Because the pathway has been created. The more you pick your nails, the easier it is to pick your nails. It doesn't matter what the activity is. The more that you do it, the more that you repeat an activity, it wires the brain, making it easier or, listen, normal for you to continue that activity in the future. Both positive and negative. Surfing the internet for pornography, you're creating neural pathways in the brain that becomes your default when you're stressed or when you're anxious. This is what's happening in the brain. But the positive is true as well. Hitting the gym, if you do it long enough, you know, they say you need 21 days to create a new habit. That's what's happening in the brain. If you hit it long enough, it eventually becomes part of who you are. You've created a new path, and that becomes the default path for your life. Playing an instrument, personal affirmation, doesn't matter what it is. The brain's ability to continually create new neural pathways is good news for us, depending on what consumes our thoughts. Because it can take us in one or two directions. Because life is always moving in the direction of our strongest thought. This is why we say that most of the battles in life are won and lost in the mind. Now, Scripture told us this long before science ever, research ever identified this idea of plasticity in the brain. Proverbs tells us that whatever you think about, you will eventually become. Now, this is God, the creator, who kind of say, I have a little inside tip on how I created the brain. Whatever you think about, whatever lies within your brain, whatever you meditate on, you will eventually become. And this is why Paul says, hey, you need to be prepared to conquer the mind. You need to be prepared to do battle with the mind. 2 Corinthians, we've talked about this during the series. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine powers to demolish strongholds. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Take captive every thought. Why? Because what we think we become. What roots in us will eventually become evident in our lives. My life is moving in the direction of the strongest thought. And so what Scripture tells us is that we will not allow a negative neural pathway to be formed in our brain by believing something that isn't true. Now, a lie believed as truth holds the same power as truth. Let me say that again. A lie that I believe as truth holds the same power as truth. And so Scripture is telling us here, hey, we need to stop believing lies because they hold the same power as truth. They're forming something in the brain, right? And what we believe, we eventually become. Now is a good time to think about what you think about. What you meditate on, now most of us will say, well, you know, Marty, I don't meditate. No. We all meditate. I promise you, you meditate. We all ruminate on something. We replay the events of the day over and over and over in our mind. That argument that you had with someone at work, replaying it over and over. I should have said this, like the jerk store called, right? There's a Seinfeld reference for any of you, get it, right? You replay it over and over in your head. Voices in my head that are speaking things over me that strangely sound just like me. And I listen to the voice in my head because it sounds familiar, right? That's meditating. And we all meditate on something. And so in his letter to the Philippian church, Paul says, look, because we're all going to meditate on something, Paul says, I got one more thing for you. He told you a lot. I got one more thing to tell you. Here's what you should be meditating on. He says, brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and what is honorable and what is right, what is pure and lovely and admirable, whatever is excellent and worthy of praise. He says, look, your mind is going to meditate on something. Here's what you need to meditate on, because your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thought. If this becomes your strongest thought, your life is moving in a positive direction. But if the opposite is true, the lies that we believe is truth, if they are what is consuming us, then our lives are moving in a direction that we don't want to go. We are actually sabotaging the lives that we want for ourselves. And more than that, we're sabotaging the lives that God has created for us and is calling us into. Now, we do not do this under our own authority. As a follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God is in us. That empowers us to take our thoughts captive. Scripture says that we will receive the dunamis, the power, the dynamite of the Holy Spirit, that allows us to live the life that we're being called to. That includes taking thoughts captive, that our thoughts will be more like Jesus, that our lives might look more like Jesus. Instead of my thoughts keeping me captive, Scripture says, take your thoughts captive. And then when you take them captives, make them obedient, but don't make them obedient to yourself, make them obedient to Jesus. In other words, make sure that your thoughts line up with the thoughts of Jesus. Make sure that your thoughts line up with the teachings of Jesus, who Jesus is, what Jesus does, and what Jesus says about you. Listen, that alone, if we could master this, would change our lives radically. Because most of what's bouncing around up here is the antithesis of what Jesus says and what Jesus says about me. And so Scripture says, look, take every thought captive. Why is this important? Because this is how strongholds are destroyed. Brent talked about this. Over time, strongholds of the mind begin to fall. Their foundation erodes, but it takes time. If I've been listening to a lie for 25 years of life, I cannot expect that that stronghold will instantly fall. It happens over time. As I change my thinking, new pathways are formed, the Holy Spirit empowers me in the life that I want to live, and slowly over time, those strongholds begin to fall. They begin to erode. Some of us have believed a lie for way too long. And what you're hoping for is that you walk out of here and that stronghold is demolished. It will fall, but it's going to take some time. And it's going to take taking our thoughts captive and making them obedient to Christ. Now, before we continue, a few things that I want. Well, here, let me just say this before I get to that. As we close the series, I want you to understand, as has been said, and the speakers did a great job, that we can, by God's design, change our thinking. Right? That's the Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of our mind. That this is God's design, that we can develop new, healthy pathways in the brain. So that means forget about what culture tells you, culture that tells you to just you be you, culture that tells you to be true to yourself, culture that says don't change, stay the way you are. I ran across this image, go ahead and put it up. This is an underwear company, and their tag on the underwear, you can't read it, so I put it in larger text, says, be true to yourself, stay the way you are. Now, for an underwear company to be against change is a little gross to me, all right? At least 48 hours at the most, all right? There's something, unless you're on a motorcycle. And I won't tell you how long we went on that one. too much information, right? So this is what culture tells us. You just be you. Stay the way you are. Listen. I don't want you to be the you that you are. I don't want me to be the me that I am. I want to become the me that God's called me to be and God's created me to be. I want you to be the you that God's called you to be. And so this idea of you just be you, no. All of Scripture talks about transformation that takes place as we follow Jesus, meaning our lives are not the same tomorrow as they were yesterday. And this includes our thinking and what we are about. So we're going to close our series talking about mental health today, which I think is becoming a crisis in our culture. Listen to some statistics. In the past 15 years, antidepressant use among Americans has soared by 65%. 65%. Every report that is out there shows that anxiety among Americans is on the steep rise. Among teens, according to the National Institutes of Health, nearly one in three of all adolescent ages 13 to 18 will experience an anxiety disorder in their lifetime. Something's wrong, right? Something's off. We're on the cusp of an epidemic. Now, before we continue, let me say something very clearly. This is not a message against antidepressants or against any type of medication whatsoever. I want to say that very clearly. Many have been properly diagnosed, are taking medication under the care of a healthcare professional, and you should have zero guilt regarding that. Do you hear me? Zero. There is no guilt condemnation coming from me, coming from this stage, or coming from this church. Matter of fact, if someone in this church does condemn you, you tell me and I will kick their apple. I don't know what you thought I was going to say, but you need to create a new neural pathway. You know what I'm saying? All right? So there's no condemnation. Now, this is a topic that needs to be discussed, though, because whatever we're doing, it's not working. Antidepressants are up by 60%, and at the same time, suicide is up by 30%. So something is off. And so I want to close out this series just kind of doing a mental health checklist. Now, I'm not suggesting, and I keep saying this, but I'm not suggesting anyone goes off of medication, all right? I've been on antidepressants in the past for a season where I felt that I need them. I'm currently not on them, but there is no guilt, no condemnation if you are on them, so I'm not suggesting anyone goes off of them. I am suggesting, in light of our current series, in light of our mastermind series, Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life, that perhaps the way we think about stress and the way that we think about pressure and life in general has added to our health problems. That we have, in fact, created deep neural pathways that feed our depression and anxiety, right? Because we know that the brain is moldable. Is it possible that we can begin to change our thinking and, in fact, we will create new pathways allowing us to better cope with stress and just cope with life in general? Is it possible? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, and through repetition, and through training the brain, and through taking thoughts captive, that we can change where the brain goes when it's stressed, or when it's depressed, or when it's anxious. That's kind of just what I want to talk about today. I'm going to give you some simple ideas as we close out this series, and maybe if you're like me, I'm a very moody person, and my mood can change like that. And so some of this checklist is healthy for me to kind of be able to pull me out of a mood swing and maybe position me in a way of better mental health. So let me give you just a few of these. The first one, mental health checklist. I ask myself this: do I expect seasons of adversity? Do I expect seasons of... Now remember, we're trying to change the way we think about stress and anxiety in hopes of changing our default path that the brain goes down. Do I expect seasons of hardship? Now, within Western Christianity, there is this phrase, this health and wealth gospel, that tells you if you're a follower of Christ, if you will just say the right prayer, do the right things, give the right amount, live the right way, have enough faith, that your life will be charmed and will be free of conflict. Now, to that thinking, Jesus says this: I have told you all of this that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. So there's this idea that kind of puts upon the Christian that says, if you're doing your Christianity right, that life should be blessed and should be free of conflict, free of trials, free of sorrow. And yet Jesus tells us just the opposite. Look, life is what life is. This is why it's important to gain control of your thoughts. And Jesus says, in this world, there will be trials and there will be sorrows. In other words, if you believe that your life should be free of conflict, you will be caught off guard when conflict comes knocking at your door. Because it will happen. There is a reason why Scripture continually tells us to endure under trials and hardship, because Scripture knows that we will go through trials and hardship. And so just ask yourself this the next time something goes wrong and it has the potential to ruin your day, flat going into work, car won't start, children act up. Do you expect seasons of adversity? It will help you roll a little bit with what is taking place when you expect, all right, seasons of adversity come and go. Ecclesiastes reminds us that there is a season for everything. It says, hey, there is a season to be born and there's a season to die. There is a season to cry and a season to laugh. There is a season to grieve and there is a season to dance, meaning that the seasons of life continually change. And as quick as we can fall into a season, we can come out of a season. Now, I love the story of Elijah. In 1 Kings, Elijah was a prophet of God, and he was opposed by King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, and they were worshipers of Baal, which was a common god, possibly the premier god in their pantheon. And so they were worshipers of Baal, and one account records the story of Elijah going head-to-head with the prophets of Baal in a smackdown of sorts. And they're going to see whose God will answer them. And so the prophets of Baal step up and they begin to shout and chant and do their thing, cutting themselves, Scripture says, and you know they're waiting for their God to appear and nothing happens. And so Elijah steps in and he begins to mock them. And he says, at noon, Elijah mocked them saying, cry louder, right? Cry aloud, for he is God. Either he is musing or he is relieving himself. That one's perfect, right? Maybe he's in the bathroom. Or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened. And they continue to cry and shout. Nothing happens. And Elijah says, my turn, right? And so he steps up. We see in verse chapter 18. He says, answer me, O Lord. Answer me that this people may know that you are Lord, that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Listen, this is the first mic drop moment recorded in Scripture. You see Elijah being like, poof. Like, need I say more, right? And so this is a defining moment in his life. The end of chapter 18 says this little phrase, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. This, right, he's high stepping out of this place, right? This was a day to be remembered. And then word gets back to Jezebel about what happens, and Jezebel sends a message to Elijah and says that before this time tomorrow, before the sun sets tomorrow, I will have your head. Meaning, I will hunt you down and I will kill you. Now, you would think after Elijah just defeated all the prophets of Baal, after he just had this defining moment in life, after the hand of God was on him, that Elijah would have been like, bring it, chick, right? Something, I don't know. I ain't afraid to fight a girl, I don't know, but something like that. And what happens instead? Look at 1 Kings 19. He says, then he was afraid. And every man in here is like, yeah, I get exactly what he's saying. He was afraid, right? Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there, but he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough now, O Lord, take my life. Talk about a season of life changing. He just went from a defining moment of God showing his power to him. The hand of God is upon him, and he went from here to here in 24 hours to where he's now saying, God, just let me die already. And I can relate to that because there's been seasons in my life where I wasn't actively seeking to harm myself, but if like a meteor traveling through space happened to drop on my car, going down the 303, I'd be like, yeah, I'm okay with that. Right? Passive suicidal tendencies. And this is kind of the way Elijah, he's like, hey, can I just fall asleep now and never wake up? Have you ever thought that? It's like, because this season of life suddenly changed. Maybe it caught him off guard. Perhaps he wasn't expecting it. Perhaps he thought after God just showed this power that these types of things should no longer be taking place in his life. But whatever it is, he goes from the mountaintop to the valley instantly. And now he's saying, I think I'm just done. And so ask yourself this. Do you expect seasons of life to change? Seasons of life, seasons of business, seasons within the church, seasons of relationship, seasons within the family, seasons with your children. Life changes, and it falls upon all of us. So again, just trying to help us retrain the brain to take a different default path when the stress of life comes upon us. Here's my second thing. Ask yourself this. Are the right messages getting through? In other words, who or what is influencing me right now? Who has the loudest voice in my life? Proverbs 12 says that anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. In other words, whose good word is being spoken into you? Who have you surrounded yourself with that is speaking into and countering what all of culture, including ourselves, is placing upon us? Right? Because most of us are our own worst enemy. And so who is speaking into your life? What message is getting through? So what I'm saying is that the next time that you kind of feel yourself starting to slip and starting to fall into, you know, a dark place, ask yourself, what message is getting through to me right now? We all need to be aware of ants. Ants are automatic negative thoughts. They take no effort because the pathway has already been formed over a lifetime. Ants are automatic negative thoughts that are constantly firing and are relentless. Thoughts that says, you're not worthy, you can't do this, they don't love you, it's always going to be like this, you'll always be alone, remember what they did to you? You can't move past this, you're stupid, you're a bad mother, you're a bad father, you're a bad son, whatever it is. Automatic negative thoughts that are constantly firing. Hey, whose message? Whose message? What message is getting through to you right now? If you took a step back, forget about what you're hearing right now. Look at the last week of your life and ask yourself, what message was most prominent in my week? See, these are things that we can begin to think about, begin to take control of. This is how we take thoughts captive. This is how we form new neural pathways to begin to allow our brain to take a new path when stress comes upon us. Studies show that we will become the average of the five people that have the most influence over us. So think about the five people that have the most influence over you right now. Do you want to become the average of those five? Maybe they're great and you're like, yeah, I could live with that. Maybe you're like, ugh, I'm going to be the average of those bozos. Yeah, the average of them. And so this is what studies show. So listen, this is why it's so important that we have people in our lives that we're doing life with, right? This is why it's important to move out of rows and into circles, that you can begin to have other people speak into your life, into your marriage, into your relationships, into your job, into whatever it is that you're going through. This is why groups are important. That's why we encourage you to come to our Summer of Love series that we had. We had last week, last Wednesday. Week two will be this Wednesday. You can still make it. To sit around tables, have a main session, then sit around tables and discuss, what does that mean to you? What are you going through in your life, in your marriage? You know, this is for you. We'll have a whole new crop of groups that will launch in the fall that will give you an opportunity to move from a row into a circle. So what is influencing your life? Here's the message of Jesus. He says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. Has that message been spoken over you at all this week? Can you claim that message for yourself? Some of you need to commit this verse to memory, right? Just to begin to meditate on this. Here's another one. Number three, how's your physical life? In other words, it's been proven time and time again that exercise not only helps the body, but it helps the mind. Right, there are endorphins that are released, and we get this natural high. I ran across this quote this week that I thought was interesting by Stephen Ilardi. He says, we were never designed for the sedentary, indoor, socially isolated, fast food laden, sleep deprived, screen addicted, frenzied pace of the 21st century. And the result is an epidemic of clinical depression. It's like, we have to be honest with ourselves. You know, cable TV, 300 channels to flip through. We have to be honest with ourselves, our smart devices and all of these things, that we are becoming more isolated and we are in fact hurting ourselves by the life and pace or lack of pace that culture is putting on us. By pace, I mean exercise and activity. That we're actually hurting ourselves. So how's your physical life? You know, there's a definite tie there. Here's number four. Am I living on purpose? Do you have a purpose that you're working towards? We spent 6 weeks in the beginning of the year talking about what on earth am I here for? Why do you get out of bed? Why draw your next breath? What is your purpose in this life? Listen, when I lose my purpose, life becomes extremely difficult. When I lose my purpose to the husband that I desire to be to my wife, the dad I desire to be to my children, the pastor I desire to be to you, the follower of Christ I desire to be to God. When I lose my purpose, man, life becomes overwhelmingly difficult. Because you can endure anything if you know what the purpose is for. But if you're enduring it just for the sake of enduring it, where you're just waiting for the sweet release of death, that becomes overwhelming. So do you have a purpose? Do you know what it is? Here's the next one. Am I getting enough rest? In other words, am I taking a Sabbath? Sabbath is a gift to us from God to help us refresh and replenish ourselves and to renew ourselves. Now, listen, my wife and I came through an extremely busy season starting back in November. You know, we had some staffing changes and dealing with those types of things and bringing on a new worship leader and redoing some stuff in children's ministry and at the same time, we were trying to get a house done. We were in the process of moving and all that stuff. All that to say, around April, mid-April, man, we both crashed hard, like bad. And our mental reserves, our emotional reserves, and our spiritual reserves were all but shot. And it didn't matter how much resolve I said, I'm going to do better today. I was gone. Right? It was just hard to make it through the day because everything in life was negative because my body, my mind, my spirit was screaming for some time away. Listen, are you giving yourself time away? Are you giving yourself time with your spouse or with the relationship that you're involved in? Are you giving yourself time for silence and to be alone? Are you giving yourself enough rest? I know you can say, well, you know, science says we need, you know, 8 hours. I live on 4 hours. Well, you can think that. You know, unless you want to say, well, science is stupid, right? But there's a reason behind it. So ask yourself, when you're falling into that, am I getting enough rest? Is it possible that exhaustion is leading me into this mood of depression? Is it possible that exhaustion is heightening my anxiety? Because really what my body is saying is we are worn out, and we need to rest. Here's the last thing. Am I giving myself away? In other words, when I'm starting to slip into a mood, ask yourself, am I being self-absorbed? Has life all become about me? Now, that's difficult in my job because as your pastor, I get paid to be about you. And so I am very deliberate on things that I do that would most, I would think, most pastors would not do because it's my way to serve you. And so there are things like when Greg's collecting cans and something that needs to be done and he needs something, it would be, let me go get that for you. Or let me help you do this in the truck. Or let me help you take out the trash. When there's trash in the truck out there, you'll find me the one throwing it away. That's not because I have to do that. This is my way of saying I need to look for opportunities to serve that are outside of my pay grade, right? And so I look for opportunities to say, you know what, my job doesn't require this. I'm serving you because this is the person that I want to be. And research has shown that when we serve other people, it helps our mood. It pulls us out of the darkness and out of the funk that we're in and actually sets us on better ground. Matter of fact, according to a growing body of research, it's finding that serving others is an effective, low-cost treatment for mild depression. Research shows, indicates that those who consistently help other people experience less depression, greater calm, fewer pains, and better health. And some are even saying that it may even help you live longer. This idea of living beyond yourself, giving yourself away. Recent research showed that students who performed 5 acts of kindness a day increased their happiness, their joy level. Providing emotional support to others significantly decreased harmful health effects of certain kinds of stress among the elderly. They also found this, that people who donate money to charity get a boost in the feel-good part of the brain. Can we bring up the offering buckets again? Because let's just test this one. I'm just saying, see if it works, right? I'm joking, of course. 2016 study showed that it is better for your mental and emotional state to give than it is to receive. These are things that even research is saying, look, it's better for us to serve other people, to give ourselves away, that when you are consumed with yourself, you begin to die. Scripture has told us this all along, right? It's better to give than to receive. It's better to look at the needs of others than to look at my own needs, Paul says in Philippians 2. It is consistent in this idea. So here's my hope for us, right? Here's my hope for us. As we close in this, that we would begin to actively work at changing our thought patterns. Because as we change our thinking, science has proven, something's taking place in the brain, we're rewiring the brain, new pathways are being created. Scripture tells us that as you think, you will become. And so my hope is that we would become aware of the things that we are listening to. And today is a good day to think about what you think about, to think about what I think about. Because if we change our thinking, we change our life. All right, just stay seated. Let me just pray for you. Let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, make yourself known among us. Father, I pray that you would show us what it is that you're doing in each person right now, that you would just give us a glimpse into that, how the Spirit of God has been ministering today. Hey, could I ask something bold? You can just stay in an attitude of prayer, but this is risky. You can just stay in an attitude of prayer, but if you're here and you're struggling with this idea of suicide today, I want you to know that this church loves you, and I want you to know that this church supports you and doesn't look down upon you. I don't even know if anyone's going to want to do this, but if you're struggling and you're in that season right now, could you just stand so we might be able to pray for you and love you? And maybe just speak some words of affirmation over you. Crystal, come here, please. Would you just go hug her, please? Would you allow Crystal to just hug you? Church, would you just be interceding for our sister right now?
in your prayers, would you pray words of life upon her? Would you pray words of hope? Words of freedom? We pray that you would experience all the things that Jesus says about you as a divine daughter of his. Would you pray for new strength to endure? We pray for people to rally around you and to hold you up and to love you and to bless you, and without condemnation, we speak that upon you. We speak life upon you. Life upon you and joy upon you. And Father, I pray that in a realm, in a spiritual way that maybe we don't even comprehend, that just the church body being in unison and supporting and loving would speak something of freedom and speak hope and life and love upon you. Lord, I pray for all of us as we all struggle with this thing of moods and darkness at times and anxiety that overwhelms us. And I pray that, Lord, for some who need to take the step and actually get help, we release them today. Tell them to go. And we release them to find the help that is needed. And Lord, for others that maybe it's a mild case, maybe we get carried away with our thoughts that, you know, lead us into darkness and lead us into despair, and would you release us in that, and would we begin to take our thoughts captive, and would we begin to be masters of our mind through the power of the Holy Spirit, that our brains would default into a new path that leads us to the place that we want to be. Would you empower us to put in the work to capture those thoughts and to make them obedient to you? I want to thank you for the miracle of the human body and the human mind, that by your design, you have created us that our brains can be reshaped and remolded and really can be transformed. And so we want to step into that with hope, and to do what is needed to position ourselves for that to begin to happen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, it is good to be back with you. We'll start a new series next week. You know what it is? I have no idea, but it will be good. If you're a guest, I'd love to meet you up front. If we can pray for you, we'd love to do that. God bless you guys. Take care.